The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. Live here inside the web studio at my home office while my guy, Mr. Weintraub, is inside the MDN studios over at Ann Arbor Radio. Been looking forward to this, and it's long overdue. You know, we've been talking about long overdue doing the Michigan Recruiting Insider, right? Long overdue to have our next guest on, such a popular figure in the Michigan Twitter community. I love the guy because he gives the Sparties work. He gives the Buckeyes work. And by work, I mean he gives them the business. Now, technically, his title, his professional title, if you want to find him in journalism, assistant sports editor over at the Dallas Morning News. But I like him as kind of the mayor of Michigan Twitter. His name is Scott Bell. Scott, how you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me. These visits will be the mayor of Michigan Twitter, Scott Bell, not the Dallas journalist. So don't have to worry about me boring you to death with that kind of stuff.
Well, we appreciate that. That is the Scott Bell that we want. We want Mayor Scott Bell. And so, man, I'm just curious. When you started tweeting, did you do so with the intent of being more active on Twitter, to kind of be more active on Michigan Twitter, be more of a presence in that sphere, or did it just start out more organically as, you know, just having fun with your Michigan fandom? How did it all start for you?
Yeah, kind of that. It's since I moved. So I've been down here in Texas for almost a decade now, which makes me feel very old. But before that, I was sports editor at the Michigan Daily when I went to Michigan, and worked at the Detroit Free Press for a couple years before going to Dallas. And so once I kind of came down here, Twitter was just sort of a way to keep tabs with Michigan fandom and something to tweet during games and stuff, but never no master plan or any grand thoughts of what it could be. But I was just kind of having fun, and if Michigan State or Ohio State loses, you can kind of twist the knife a little bit and have some fun there. But it's just kind of grown into, as Twitter's kind of grown, it's just kind of evolved from there, and just kind of been rolling with it.
Right. It certainly has taken a life of its own. So I admit, I really started paying attention to you more routinely when the whole ban incident happened. So can you give us the story? So why did you get removed from Twitter? Like, which fan base was behind that?
So that's a long story in itself too, but apparently there were enough. First of all, it would be Michigan State, and that's been
right.
If you'll follow, you'll notice that there will be a fair amount of fans from that fan base that aren't particularly fond of me. But the whole thing was kind of a mess in that a bunch of people reported my account, but there wasn't anything that was like illegally that was done. But then Twitter's algorithm was weird, and so I have two accounts. I have my Michigan fan account, which is SBell021, and then I have my Dallas Morning News account, which is, I've got like the verified blue check mark and everything, and that's Scott Bell BMO. And so since it had been reported, the Twitter algorithm ended up banning my non-blue checkmark account because they thought I was impersonating Scott Bell in my, like, I wanted to just talk to a human on Twitter and be like, I can't impersonate myself. It ended up getting worked out, but it kind of had a life of its own for a couple days there. But hopefully that's the last time something like that will happen.
So you got they came after you for impersonate what they thought was you impersonating yourself, which is it sounds like a Twitter thing. But I want to dig into to some of the things that I've seen you comment on. So there was recently this you know this report from Ian Rappaport, you know, NFL guy, one of the top NFL guys, and he talked about how you know, I'll just read you his tweet. He was talking about how the scouts had been treated there. You know, scouts being MSU football now having an open door policy with all scouts. He said, Ian Rappaport said, this is great to see. No program treated NFL scouts worse than Michigan State. Hard to imagine that helped their players get drafted. This is much better. To which you had something to say, right?
Yeah, I might have taken a little bit of a pot shot there. I said another thing that didn't help Michigan State players getting drafted was the league stance on performance-enhancing drugs.
Yeah, man, the Smarties don't like it. But you know what? That's a good club to be a part of. You know, the Smarties not liking you club. Now, you get to graduation is when Mel Tucker or Tom Izzo call you and complain to you about some of the things you said. That's when you know you're really hitting home, man. So that day is coming for you, Scott. With as much as you're going in on them, it's coming.
Haven't gotten coaches yet. In all seriousness, though, I actually have had some players and stuff, and I try to not be overly mean-spirited or too personal with things. I try not to go after the student athletes themselves. It'll be a little more institutional or grown adults and stuff because these are amateur athletes and things of that nature. But they're luckily with Michigan State, there is plenty of material to choose from, so I can pick and choose without being overly cruel.
We're talking to Scott Bell. His title on this show will be Mayor of Michigan Twitter. So, Scott, let's assume for a second that the season starts on time, that there's no disruption. You know, what's your outlook? What do you think about this year's Michigan football season? What do you see on the horizon for the Maize and Blue?
I feel relatively good. It's all kind of up to what your expectations are. I think Michigan's got a pretty high floor on where the season's going to be. In my newsletter this week, I'm actually going to be doing game-by-game predictions, but I think their most likely landing spot is probably 10-2, which is a good season, but if you're one of those people that only measures success up against Ohio State, well, Ohio State's going to be one of the one or two best programs in the country this year, and you got to go into Columbus to win, and I just don't see that happening right now. So I think you see progress, but if you're one of those people where if Michigan doesn't win the Big Ten, doesn't make the CFP, doesn't beat Ohio State, then, I mean, that's a pretty high bar to reach, and I think you might be disappointed again. But I think you're going to continue to see progress. I think you're going to see a lot of young players step into roles and do really well in them. That's kind of where I'm at. I see a really good season. I don't see a great season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which obviously the measure these days. I'm curious if you have this experience when you talk to – when you go back and forth to people, Michigan people on Twitter, so much of the focus, you forget about the build up to the, you know, to the Ohio State. It's all about whatever happens before Ohio State. There's really no mention of any recruit they get. I hear is this going to help us beat Ohio State, or is Ohio State recruiting this guy, or what's Ohio State do? Everything these days, at least for me in dealing with Michigan fans, revolves around Ohio State. I wonder if that's been your experience as well.
Absolutely. And I get it. I'm not trying to move the goalpost or make excuses or anything. Like we all grew up in an era where it was a much more competitive rivalry. And I think people are are a little annoyed of that. I think you need some perspective, though. And, I mean, I think this run by Ohio State right now is unprecedented in the way they're recruiting, the way that they're playing. It's not, I don't think it's super long-term sustainable, and I don't think it's fair to expect Michigan and Ohio State to both be playing at that level. So there are people that are very frustrated by it. Well, obviously everyone's probably frustrated by it, but it can also be annoying that, like, when Michigan has these legitimately great contributions or things happen or Michigan signs someone, it's immediately putting in that prism of, oh, Ohio State this, Ohio State that, and it's a little unfair to Michigan's accomplishments that deserve credit where they're kind of undercut when people immediately try to turn it into Ohio State or frame it that way. So I just mentioned I have a newsletter, and that's kind of been my stepping off point with Twitter. I've kind of decided that, like, legitimate, in-depth sports discussion isn't really for Twitter, because I get annoyed that it's you're largely that Ohio State question, but it's just it's hard to sort of have those talks in 280 character bursts anyway. So I've kind of decided that Twitter is just going to be my place to kind of joke around, have some fun, but not really get too in-depth. And then a couple months ago, when the pandemic started, launched a newsletter, and once a week I'm kind of just going a little more in depth and more actual football content, X's and O's and things like that, and that's been a good kind of outlet to do that too. So hopefully a little more rational fans and people that don't necessarily need to say, oh, well, what about Ohio State every week, and can get a little more football talk through there too.
Yeah, man. I mean, you have some interesting, that is a great way. Twitter can be used as a release because, yeah, I mean, I see, you know, follow you on Twitter and see some of your interests. Throwing water balloons at, like, you know, how old is your son, Scott?
So I've got a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old.
So I've done some things that have got me in trouble with the wife. I've taken my 10, you know, my 9, almost 10-month-old, and, you know, picked him up and held him upside down by his feet, and I've you know, done this swing him in a circle and get dizzy thing. I haven't thrown water balloons at him yet, man. And so how did that one go over?
If anyone listening here has young children in quarantine during a pandemic, I think you can all relate as to trying to find creative ways to keep everyone entertained. We're at 11 weeks, and luckily my wife's been home too and been a great help. But when you have two kids under the age of 4 running around the house while you're still supposed to be working and everything, you gotta mix things up and stay creative. So we've had some water balloon fights where I've tried to teach my youngest how to watch his blind spot and try to use it as football training. But week and a half ago, my 3-year-old actually broke his leg too. So that has added a whole other wrinkle.
Oh,
and
wow.
In the whole quarantine thing, but luckily they're great kids and they have good attitudes. But it's been an interesting couple of months, that's for sure.
Yeah, wow, man. Hopefully he's feeling better, making it through the cast itch, as we call it. That's a tough thing to deal with. You know, I know you follow Michigan recruiting as well. What do you make of Michigan's recruiting efforts this year and just in general during the Jim Harbaugh era?
I mean, pretty good. It's I'll sound like a broken record saying it's good as long as you're not putting it up at using Ohio State as your bar, but you've got a top 5 class right now. I think the criticism early on was that there weren't hey, Michigan was getting some high four stars, even a five star with the quarterback, but where is it on defense? But now last week you get three highly rated defensive commits with good offer sheets and everything. So I think you got to feel pretty good. Ohio State's class is unprecedented. I think they're at like a 95 average rating for your 247 composite, and I think if it ended that way, it might be the highest rated class ever. But I think Michigan's, it looks like they're well on their way to a top 10, top 12 class once everything shakes out, and considerably better than Penn State, which is pretty surprising and a good sign of things to come. So I think realistic fans should feel great about how Michigan's recruiting right now.
Yeah, you know, I'm curious just to jump to a different topic real quick. You're in Dallas. One of the greatest moments of my, you know, covering Michigan, my, you know, this job on the radio or writing over on 24/7, one of the greatest moments I've ever had covering anything was that Sweet 16 game in Dallas back in 13. And I'm just going, were you in Dallas at that? Were you down there by that time?
Yes, sir. I was on media row for that as well. So I try to have a very distinct line between my fandom and my professionalism. That was one of my hardest challenges right there, because I was there working, but it's hard not to be excited to see like a transcendent shot, like the Burke shot that sent things into overtime. But that was a very cool experience. And 2 days later, to blow Florida out of the water at the same court was really really great too.
So I mean, so a couple things. So first, are you're telling me you didn't jump up when he hit that shot?
I did not. My professionalism. It may not seem like it all the time on the SBL021 Twitter account, but I was there to do my job, and I was doing my job, but it was still very cool to see.
Well, you know, I don't think it would have been a sign of being a poor professional if you would have jumped up and someone would have kind of pulled you down and said, no, you can't do that on press row. That kind of thing.
Sam, Scott didn't have me sitting next to him to keep him in control, to keep him from getting in trouble.
Right, that kind of thing could happen. But, you know, the weird things – Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, I was just saying there might have been some audible wows, but there were no fist pumps or hail to the victors or anything like that.
Right, I gotcha. Well, one of the weird things for me being down there, though, was hearing, like, there are a bunch of TCU fans next to the section that we were at, and they were cheering for Kansas. And I was like, man, I mean, and all the, you know, the other Big 12 fans in the building were cheering for it. I mean, I can't imagine being at a tournament game. Let's say we were in Ohio and rooting for Ohio State or rooting for Michigan State. I mean, do rivalries just not run the same down there? Is there more camaraderie, Big 12 camaraderie than maybe we would see here in the Big Ten?
It depends. I mean, I think the in-state Big 12 rivalries still run pretty deep. TCU has Baylor, Texas. Nobody in-state really likes Texas. You had Texas and Texas A&M until A&M went to the SEC. There's rivalries there, but Kansas, I mean, most rivalries are based and predicated off football anyways, and Lord knows nobody feels like Kansas is a rival in that, because I think they've won about two games in 5 years in conference play there. So I think that might be more like if Michigan was or kind of like, hey, Michigan fans kind of indifferent about Illinois, like Illinois is not going to do anything if they're playing football or whatever. So it's more kind of indifference than a sense of camaraderie, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I gotcha. All right, so we will close on a couple of notes. Number one, I mean, I don't know about you. I was a little sad to see old, you know, just an old foil, an easy target in Mark D'Antonio, deciding to hang him up. Any thoughts on why Mark D'Antonio decided to hang him up when he did?
I don't think it's a complete coincidence that Mr. D'Antonio decided to ride off into the sunset on the same day that there were recruiting improprieties that were being floated out as part of the Blackwell case. I don't think it's explicitly that through 100%, but I think things kept continuing to trend negatively in East Lansing, and I think that was just another hiccup or another roadblock that D'Antonio saw that was going to make things more difficult. So you can put out your statements that say, oh, it's just my time or whatever, but to think those things aren't correlated, at least somewhat, is probably being a little naive.
And you know, obviously Ohio State, they haven't really missed a beat, right, with Urban riding off into the sunset, as they say. But, you know, he's made a miraculous recovery. I don't know if you've seen Urban Meyer offer analysis over on Fox, but he seems to be really dialed in. His memory doesn't seem to be causing him any real issues there. Do you think we'll see Urban Meyer back on a sideline sometime here in the near future?
That's funny how that works out, isn't it? He always seems to recover so quickly. But, yeah, I do not think we've seen the last of Urban Meyer. I think this his exit from Columbus is very similar to how things ended in Gainesville, and I think you'll see him on another sideline in a year or two. I think there was a lot of talk about USC and when they got their new AD that might have changed things up a bit, but I think he's going to have another landing spot somewhere else, and I think he'll be successful, and I think he'll step away, and I think he probably won't step away in the most normal of circumstances again, and that's just kind of his MO now.
Gotcha. All right, so you mentioned a couple of times that you have a newsletter. Tell the listeners about it. Tell them how they can get it.
If you just hop on my Twitter account, I probably promote it too much anyways. So it's scottbell.substack.com. And like I said, if you hop on my Twitter, you'll see enough directions there, and I won't bog you down too much with talk on that. But like I said, that's just trying to be my place where talk a little more about X's and O's and actual football stuff, and we can worry about having more of the fun stuff on the actual Twitter account.
And what's your focus this week on this week's newsletter?
This week is going to be a breakdown of different schedules, who's got the toughest and easiest crossover, Big Ten stuff, which might not be great news for Michigan fans because Michigan's got a tough crossover look. And then I just have game-by-game predictions for all the Big Ten teams.
Gotcha. Well, Scott, I'm looking forward to having you on a weekly basis. Going to be a lot of fun, especially once the season starts. So thanks for joining us, my man, and we will talk to you next week.
Yep, looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks. That's the mayor of Michigan Twitter. That is his title. We have so dubbed him that. Scott Bell. He'll be with us Mondays at 9:05. We need to get to a break. Be back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.